Please be seated. It was sometime in the late 1940s when the armed forces hadn't yet been desegregated. The Tuskegee Airmen were still a unit, even though the war was over. Segregation and separation of the races was still the law in much of the land. It was long before Brown versus Board of Education or Rosa Parks or Jackie Robinson or Martin Luther King. And a young African-American couple decided to go to an Episcopal church one Sunday morning. They were the only people of color there. The woman was an Episcopalian, but the man was studying to be a Baptist preacher. And when it came time for communion, the woman went up to receive, and the man remained in his seat and watched. He soon realized that everyone was drinking real wine out of the same cup. And he thought to himself, this ought to be interesting. The priest came by with the bread, saying, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life, that Christ died for thee, feed on him in thy heart by faith with thanksgiving. No big deal. But then came the cup, the common cup. Would that priest really give his fiancée communion from a common cup? But more importantly, would the next person at the rail drink from that cup after she did? Would others on down the line drink after her from the same cup? The priest came by speaking these words to each person as they drank from the cup. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for thee, and be thankful. The people drank from the cup. Blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another person drank. Preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. The person right before her drank. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for thee. And then she drank. And be thankful. She drank. Now was the moment that her fiance, though, had been waiting for. Would the next person after her drink from that cup? He watched. And the next person drank. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for thee. And on down the line it went. People drinking from a common cup after his fiancée, a black woman, like it was the most normal thing in the world. The man would later say that it was the reconciling experience of Christ in the sacrament of that Eucharist that brought him into the Episcopal Church. He said, any church in which blacks and whites can drink out of the same cup knows something about the gospel I want to be a part of. That couple later married. They gave birth to two children, one of whom is Michael Curry, the 27th presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church. Bishop Curry told that story in a sermon at his installation as presiding bishop on All Saints Day of last year. It was a powerful story. It was a wonderful sermon. And it was a reminder to all of us that the eras of debate and controversy and genuine consternation about the state of things are not unique to our times. It's a reminder that times have always been pretty complex and difficult, because life's not easy. People aren't easy. Long entrenched beliefs and practices aren't changed very easily. And his sermon was a testament to the truth that doing what's right and loving is courageous, even when you don't really know you're being courageous. And that courage is what turned the world upside down in the first century, and it is what can turn the world upside down again. In that sermon, Bishop Curry expressed what he had come to believe about Jesus, that Jesus didn't come to start a new religion. He didn't come to start a church. He came to start a movement, carrying forward the movement that was begun in the beginning. and handed on from Moses and the prophets throughout the ages. And the movement wasn't about being right. It was about aligning yourself rightly with God and loving God and loving your neighbor, no matter who that neighbor is. To put it simply, Bishop Curry said, if it's not about love, it's not about God. Hear those words. If it's not about love, it's not about God. How simple and true. And a mic drop moment, if there ever was one for him. That's what the leaders of the synagogue in today's gospel lesson didn't get when Jesus heals an old woman on the Sabbath day. And I'm afraid we're not much different. Sometimes we're more like the synagogue leaders than we are like Jesus. Because face it, the synagogue leader was right. You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. It's a commandment, not a suggestion. It's a day for rest and renewal, a law given to the Israelites after their exodus from Egypt. Remember Egypt? They were slaves there. And so when they got a commandment that said, you need to take a day and rest, and set aside one day just for themselves, well, they saw that as good news, not as a burden. The leader of the synagogue was right. No matter the good intentions, once you start making exceptions for this reason or for that, pretty soon no one's keeping the Sabbath and it's lost its point altogether. And you start making exceptions, and that's when you begin that journey down that popularly termed slippery slope. The leader of the synagogue was right. He was well-intentioned. And I thank God for the rule followers of this world. Although I'm not one of them. But I hope those rule followers were not here last Sunday at the 10:30 service when I broke just about every liturgical rule in the book. But really, we need them. We need the rule keepers. Because rule keepers keep us honest. Rules are meant to preserve us and to protect us. And rules are not a bad thing. But there is another side to the story. And I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about that bent over woman. We're also more like her than we might want to admit. Do you think she cared at all that all this happened on the Sabbath, where for the first time in 18 years she raised herself up and stood tall and could look at those she loved in the eye? Do you think she cared about the rules? We're like her. Because all of us are bent over more than we'd like to believe, from whatever weighs us down. Each of us strives for the freedom from whatever burdens we carry. Sometimes we're bent over from the reality of life, the reality that life is hard. The normal stresses and worries and bad luck and bad decisions and choices have bent us all over from time to time. And sometimes, yes, we are bent over from man-made doctrines and dogmas from church by which we never seem to measure up. And Jesus says, if it's not about love, it's not about God. And that voice and that touch of the living God stands each one of us up straight and sends us on our way, empowers us with the possibilities of life. My friends, the leader of the synagogue was right. The law matters because it helps us order our lives. It helps us keep the peace. It sets boundaries. It creates room for us to flourish. It encourages us. It sometimes even goads us to look beyond ourselves that we might love and care for that neighbor. But hear this. The law always bows to grace. To mercy, to life, to freedom. Always, always. Laws make life better, but grace gives us life. Laws hold the world together, but grace holds us together. Law pushes us to care for each other, but it's grace that lifts us up when we fail. If it's not about love, it's not about God. That's the story of our gospel. Not just today, but every single day. Every single gospel reading. It's about loving that neighbor no matter who they are. And that part is scary. But that's the way it is with love. No guarantees. No assurances. No assurance of having it turn out the way we think it's supposed to. No absolutes. Except for one. The God who gave that law out of love continues to love us and all the world. And like that bent over woman longs for all of us to be whole, no matter what. God love you. Amen.